So many of you here making it on time for church in spite of the massive traffic jam we had earlier. You know, it took me 1.5 hours to reach here. And while sitting in the car in the traffic jam, and I was praying, and it was such a comforting note to receive that Pastor sent to the leaders, "Don't stress." And we may decide to start the service a bit later, which we did. And so, thank you for being here, and phew, we've made it. And I think the lesson for us today is that to be persevering and to make it to our intended place, our destination, successfully. And so, today, we rejoice. You know, there's this story that at the end of one particular church service, when the members are all getting into their groups for discussion and prayer, then the pastor spotted this man leaving the hall, and then he quickly went to this man, shook his hands very warmly, and told him,
Brother, it's so good to see you today. And why don't you stay back? Join us for our small group. You need to be in the lost army and join the small group to be equipped. And then he told the pastor, he said, Pastor, I'm already in the lost army. And so the pastor said, Then how come I didn't see you every week? The last time I spotted you was on our last service at Easter. And the one before that was at Christmas time. And then he whispered to the pastor, "Pastor, I'm in the secret service."
You know?
So, but Jesus says that no one lights a candle and puts it under a basket. In fact, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men
that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. And so, this day, so the day will come when we will arrive into eternity, and at this heaven's gate, there's a gate that is just before entering to heaven. And at this gate, as we stand before God, the book of life will be open, and then it will be checked whether our names are in the book of life. And so if your name is in the book of life, you'll be admitted through the gate. And so the question is, how confident are we that we will enter into this gate? And last week, you have heard Pastor sharing with us about this great and renowned evangelist, Billy Graham, who was asked, what would be your reaction? What would be the first thing you will say when you enter through this gate into heaven? And the preacher said, "Phew, I made it." And so that is very telling, because if the evangelist Billy Graham were to say that, then it means that we better take note that, you know, in our journey of faith, how are we honoring the Lord and working towards our destination. And so, the fact that he said that makes me think very seriously that I should be serious about my journey of faith in my walk with the Lord, and that not to be presumptuous of the salvation that comes from none other than the Lord Jesus. And that we should take our salvation that comes from the Lord Jesus very seriously. And it will be such a grave situation when a person arrives at that gate just to find that his name is not there, and he will not be admitted. So we should really endeavor to make every effort to make sure that our names are in the book of life and that it will remain there into eternity. And the apostle Peter urged us, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, we take a look at the important question pertaining to entry into the kingdom of God, and is simply addressing the Lord like, Lord, Lord, is it enough to open the open heaven's door? Jesus, the owner of heaven, tells us that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So, please turn your Bible to today's passage from Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read from verse 13 to 29. And as you have got your page in the Bible open, or you can refer to the screen, let me read. Verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Because of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was his fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings to the people, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this passage that we just read concludes with the following statement, that when Jesus has completed his teaching, that the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who has authority and not as their teachers of the law. And so we pray that we will all continue to be amazed at his teaching and follow the principles that our Lord Jesus teaches us. We take heed to his warning in today's passage and give thanks for his word of wisdom on how we should live and how to avoid the pitfalls of life. We want to live lives worthy of your calling and ask for your empowerment to walk righteously in our faith journey, to reach heaven to reach heaven's gate with a big welcome. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The biggest challenge for every Christian is not the lack of trust in Jesus or even in believing Jesus, because we all believe Jesus. The biggest challenge for every Christian is in staying faithful to Him till the very end and in finishing well. No one is truly safe until he arrives safely. Meanwhile, we are in the process of being safe. We cannot be presumptuous about our salvation in the faith journey. And we need to walk carefully on this way of holiness that God has set before us, and to walk on this way of holiness all the way to arrive at heaven's gate and to enter it with a big welcome. Those who are presumptuous of their salvation may become careless and walk on the slippery road of destruction that is hell. So, it would be such a sad thing that a Christian is so presumptuous and did not work out his faith journey, and then he stumbled and he went on the slippery road and at heaven's gate to find that his name is not there. And the problem is that most churchgoers may presume that they will arrive at heaven's gate successfully and enter it. And they seem not to have heard that having going out faith is not the same as going on faith. We need to be clear from the Exodus story that arriving safely at the promised land requires persevering faith and living out a life of obedience unto the Lord God. And in Numbers chapter 13, God told the Israelites that the promised land was rich and fertile and promised that this bountiful land would be theirs, as He has promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And at Kadesh Barnea, they sent out 12 men who went out to spy on the land, the promised land. And they came back reporting of good reasons why they should enter the land. They even brought back a branch with a cluster of grapes and also some pomegranates and figs. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 out of the 12 spies could not stop focusing on their fear of the giants that they saw in the land, and they convinced the others not to go into the land. So even when Caleb urged them, "Let us go up and take possession, for we will be well able to overcome it," they would still not listen. The negative opinion of the 10 men rubbed on, and the whole generation of Israelites that have crossed into this desert, that they decided to disobey God's intention for them to cross into the promised land, and there was a great rebellion among the people. So although Kadesh was a desert oasis, it was a crossroad in Israel's history. When the scouts came back and the people decided not to take possession of the land and to retreat, They chose to retreat, and they were condemned to wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years. You know, at Kadesh Barnea, the Israelites failed in their going on faith, and they all died in the desert, save for Joshua and Caleb and the new generation of Israelites, who later made a covenant with the Lord their God and walk faithfully to enter the promised land. And by their disobedience to the Lord, the first generation of Israelites in the desert failed in their going on faith and disqualified themselves from entering the promised land. And so we should learn from the episode, from this episode, and make sure that we don't fall into being presumptuous about our salvation. In the light of the warning of Jesus that not everyone shall enter heaven, we must take heed to check our faith walk. We need to make sure that we reach the promised land, and so it matters much for us to establish that we qualify for entry into heaven because of the following reasons. That it is dangerous to enter eternity without establishing the foundation of our faith. We hear bits and pieces of salvation doctrine and things like once saved, always saved, that all Christians go to heaven, that as long as you believe in Jesus, you'll be right, that we are saved by grace, and since Jesus loves me, He will not cast me out. I'm a good Christian, so surely my good behavior will count. So you'll notice in this slide that I've just flashed that the statement, once saved, always saved, I put there with a question mark. Is it really so? Most Christians who use this phrase take it to mean that once they have believed in Jesus and received salvation that come from Jesus, that they are forever saved in their faith journey, which is a false belief if they think it that way, that they can then continue on the life journey in whatever way they wish, not honoring the Lord Jesus. And so, when they continue to live in their old ways, in their old flesh, and they feel as if it is okay, God understands anyway. But Jesus says clearly to such a person who profess faith in Christ Jesus but does not live out the righteous life, Jesus said, I never knew you. And in John 15, verse 6, Jesus also emphasized that if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So you see, there will be misguided thinking. The misguided thinking when a Christian has not examined the whole counsel of scriptures regarding his salvation. And one common mistake is that they say, Jesus loves me and I love Jesus. Their understanding is that God is love without considering that He is also absolutely a just and a righteous God. And the righteous God will never condone the unrighteous lifestyle of sinful men. When we first pray to receive Jesus, this is the aorist faith. The faith that is at that moment in time when we receive the salvation faith and we pray to receive Jesus as our Lord and risen Savior. And we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and receive the imputed righteousness of God with the Holy Spirit coming upon us to lead us and to guide us and to teach us. This is the positional holiness given to us. We then embark on the going on faith in our faith journey, and we position ourselves to walk holy lives in the going on faith. And this is the behavioral holiness which is expected of us, which we are responsible for. And this is the choice we will have to make, that we choose to walk in this behavioral holiness, the way of holiness that God says. And we walk in this in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are weak, but we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. So we ask and we receive empowerment of the Holy Spirit to walk and to persevere in this faith journey. So, if a professing Christian says he will get into heaven no matter how he lives out his spiritual life, simply because he says Jesus loves me and he will not cast me out, he will be sadly mistaken. A truly born-again believer in Christ will endeavor to enter into a behavioral holy living under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, warnings are given regarding so-called Christians whose conduct clearly proves that they are not born again by their bad fruit, which we can tell. Our good fruit must be the fruit of faith in Christ. So on the contrary, adulterers, cowards, liars, and the unbelieving, by their actions, it only proves that they have not enough faith to put sinful habits away. And their sinful ways are the fruit of unrighteousness and not faith fruit. So the danger of ending up in hell was the message the Lord warned. And in this passage in Matthew 5, the Lord warned three times. If you can see, he warned of the hellfire. He warned that people who continue in their sin will be cast into hell. And those unrepented sinners, they will be cast into hell. So we have to take this question, who will enter heaven, very seriously. Do not follow the crowd in living out a life of sin, because hell is certain. Hell is for sure for the unrepentant. The seriousness is compounded that once they have been cast away, there is no way out for them to return, because it will then be too late for them to repent. So take heed, be set apart, let's follow Jesus now. And a warning is given in today's passage, but few Christians really consider the gravity or the severity of the consequences, because no one likes to hear such warnings. So today, as we hear this warning coming out, flashing out from this page of the Holy Bible, and Jesus is giving us this warning so that we will turn around if we are not walking rightly with him. Today, on hearing this warning of the Lord, do not harden our hearts. Do not harden your heart, but take heed and check on your spiritual life. And remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was addressing a congregation of believers, and they've all congregated at this mountainside in Galilee to hear and to learn what the great master has to teach them. So take note, the Lord, in addressing the congregation in this passage, is focusing on only one issue. Where will you end up? In heaven or in hell? And this passage is being addressed to Christians. So, who will or who will not make it to heaven? Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 21 specifically says, not everyone will enter. Not everyone who profess to be a Christian shall enter heaven. It's a great matter that verse 21 begins with the word, not everyone will enter. Is that not every professing Christian will enter heaven, and we should therefore take this warning seriously. Jesus categorically stated the following kinds of professing Christians who will not end up in heaven. Firstly, those who bank only on addressing Jesus as Lord. Only addressing him as Lord, but not living out to his Lordship. Secondly, those who do not do the will of the Father. Thirdly, those whom he does not recognize as someone he knows, that is, someone with whom he has a relationship with, that is, someone who is faithful, who is a faithful covenant keeper. And lastly, the fourth category, those who clearly practice lawlessness. And so, having received salvation by the grace of God, we need to work out, exercise the going on faith, work out with fear and trembling, so that we don't fall out. In describing the above categories of people who don't make it to heaven, Jesus used metaphors to depict the choices we have to make and the outcomes of following these choices that we make. One choice leads to the way of holiness, while the other puts one on the slippery road to hell. And verse 21 speaks of one calling Jesus, Lord, Lord. And this type of person is a representative of those who bank only on addressing Jesus as Lord. The metaphor that Jesus used depicts true disciples and false disciples. Here there are two claims. Two claims on the Lordship of Christ Jesus. One is false and one is true. By their calling him Lord, Lord. Addressing Jesus as Lord is something we all do, right? We do it all the time in our prayers. We do it in our worship songs. Our calling Jesus Lord, Lord is a must. Because in so doing, we acknowledge and declare him as Lord in our life and that we will honor his Lordship. But the question is, are we calling him Lord as a true disciple of his? The false disciple also call him Lord, Lord. And they are the ones whom Paul describes in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, that they profess that they know God, but by their works they deny him, being abominable or detestable, disobedient and unfit for any good work. So you see on the screen, on the left is the bark of a tree. Can any one of you see something else but the bark of the tree? If you can, put up your hand. Oh, good. Okay, about 40% of you notice it. Take a closer look. Can you see the owl there? Okay, now I think all of you can see that there is an owl there. And this is actually the gray owl. It's got feathers that is silvery gray and so colored that when the owl goes into this bark, the bark of the tree, that it will be the master camouflage at work. when he doesn't want people to see him, he will act on it this way, and nobody can see him. In full view of our very frontal sight, and yet we can't see. But to those of you who can see, good eyesight, or maybe it's good discernment. We have the discernment, right? Okay. So, you know, we also have people who can behave like this great owl. And God's people can be like this great owl. We can live complacent lives and blend into the world. Sunday we come to church, but Monday to Friday or Saturday, we may live out in the secular setting and no one can see that we are a believer of the Lord Jesus. And so, one can live complacent lives and blend into the world and remain unrecognized as believers. Whether he does so intentionally or perhaps unintentionally because of his complacent lifestyle. We are prone to wonder, but today's message on the warning of Jesus must surely wake us up to endeavor to consistently walk on the way of holiness or risk turning away from the way that God has designed and required us as his disciples. And it is the will of God that we live in obedience to his calling, and that it is our responsibility to exercise discipline, Christian life, and to abide by his word and submit to his will. And we will need to do this, we will need to depend on the Holy Spirit to empower us. And when we submit to the Holy Spirit, he will help us to walk that holy life. When we submit to him daily, we become more and more like Jesus. As we live in a covenant relationship with Jesus as Lord, he will empower us and even use us to draw others into his kingdom. But for the false disciples, it will not be so. They will not be walking in a covenant relationship. There's no relationship whatsoever with the Lord Jesus. So the false disciples will also be those that who claim the name of Jesus, but they may even have participated in religious wonders. They may even prophesy. They may have done demon casting. They may have done signs and wonders, all impressive displays of power, maybe at one time in their life or other, but have failed to continue walking in the Lord and have gone astray in their own ways. And unfortunately, despite all the God talk that they had, the showy displays of religious fervor, Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you." In that, Jesus did not recognize them as his true disciples or approve of them, because there's no proof of continuing covenantal relationship with Jesus. They are maybe covenant breakers. And in 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul spoke of men such as Demas and Alexander, who were once his mission team partners. They were in his mission team, but they fell away, and the apostle says this, that he handed them over to the devil. Check this out. Timothy 1:20, Timothy 4:10. The next type of professing Christians who will not enter heaven are those who do not do the will of the Father. And here, Jesus uses the metaphor of the narrow and wide gates. The wide gate brings you to Broadway. It is an easy road, full of attractions to distract you from the godly lifestyle. And there'll be great fun on this Broadway. There's great fun that allows you to experience those funny, funny things. And this Broadway leads you to hell. So, this Broadway is not the will of the Father for us. So, we choose the narrow way, right? Agreed? Yes. Amen. So those who would do the will of the Father would be the ones who walk on the narrow way. But the Apostle Peter told us that all who walk with God will suffer persecution. There is a high price to pay in doing God's will. It's a difficult road to travel. So, the Lord uses the metaphor of the narrow way in verse 14 to describe the difficult journey which leads to life eternal, and he says, few will find it. Doing the will of the Father requires us to stay on the narrow way no matter how difficult. This is the cause of discipleship. So, will you persevere in walking on this narrow way? The choice that we make will confirm that we value that heaven is priceless. That in spite of persecutions and difficulties, we will continue on to serve God. And how do we know or confirm that I am doing the will of the Father? Is by the fruit that I produce. As a true disciple, by my fruit, I can easily identify whether I'm doing my Father's will. So, we can check ourselves. Do we have fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do we have this in our life? And do we have the fruit of evangelism? Do we have the fruit of discipleship? The third group who will not enter heaven are those whom Jesus does not recognize as someone he knows. When Jesus tells a group of religious practitioners, "I never knew you," they try to justify themselves on the basis of their works. For they say, "We prophesied. We performed exorcisms. We did miracles." But no one will be justified by their own works. They have failed to do the Father's will and rejected God's eternal purpose and plan for their lives. They did not have faith in the one God sent, and so Jesus, the righteous judge, condemns them to eternal separation from Him. The metaphor of the good tree and the bad tree reveals the outcome of a person's life. Whether he is true to God as a good tree producing good fruits, or a bad tree with the rotten outcomes. And so, what is the fruit that we are producing? What is the fruit that you produce? The good tree are the true believers of Christ Jesus, who will live mindful, intentional lives rooted in the teachings of Jesus, making choices that reflect God's will and producing the fruits of righteousness. But every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut off. That's what verse 19 says. There was this influential Baptist preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon in the 19th century. And he wrote this, and I quote, "It is not merely the wicked, the bearer of poison berries that will be cut down, But the neutral, the man who bears no fruit of positive virtue, must also be cast into the fire. And in verse 21 and 22-23, we see Jesus exposing people who sounded religious but had no personal relationship with him. On judgment day, only our relationship with Jesus, our acceptance of him as Savior and Lord, and our obedience to him will matter. Many people think that if they are good people and say religious things, they will be rewarded with eternal life. In reality, Jesus will say he does not know them as his disciples. It's a relationship that we have with Jesus that will count. And we need to be in a covenant relationship with him as our Lord. And how do I know? How do I know whether I have a covenant relationship with Jesus? Firstly, people who have covenant relationship will firstly be sharing common goals. Because unless two agree, how can they work together? So in a covenant relationship, you agree and you share common goals. And so we work out with Jesus to accomplish what is in the Father's heart. Secondly, covenant people will communicate often, sharing their hearts. And so as covenant people, we are eager to hear his voice. We are eager to feed on his word and to have our listening time with him. And we share our hearts with him through our prayer. And thirdly, as covenant people of the Lord, we will talk about Jesus and his word, the gospel. We often testify of the goodness of the Lord and of the salvation that comes only through him, our Lord and Savior. We will share with others the good news. The next point on who will not enter heaven. Definitely, those who are barred from entry to heaven are the ones who clearly practice lawlessness. They rebel against the word of God. And the metaphor of a solid or a shaky foundation was used by Jesus. And this metaphor speaks of the wise builder who builds his house on the rock. And in contrast, the foolish builder who builds his house on sinking sand. The two builders both hear Jesus' teaching. They heard the same thing. They both experienced the same set of circumstances in life. But the difference between them isn't a lack of knowledge, but that unlike the wise builder who follows God's word, the foolish builder ignores them. The wise builder is the one who builds the house on the rock. And externally, their lives may look similar, but the lasting structural differences will be revealed by the storms of life. When we follow Jesus, the immediate differences between your life and the lives of others who don't may not perhaps be so obvious at first, but the benefits will eventually show by the effect on your eternal destiny. To build on solid rock means to be hearing the word of God and to be a responding disciple and not one who is sloppy and disobedient. The wise builder who builds his house on the rock rock is the foundation of God's word. He builds his house on a foundation of God's word. And he's the one who hears the word of God and puts them into practice. In other words, he's a doer of God's word. He is on the firm foundation, and when the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because he had the foundation on the rock. And so, using this example of Joseph, Joseph upheld God's word and did not succumb to the overt temptations of Potiphar's wife. We know this story, right? Joseph remained faithful and loyal to God, which is what the godly would do. He paid a price as Potiphar's wife then stirred her husband's jealousy and made the husband throw Joseph into prison. But God never forsake his servant and showed him favor even in prison, and later made him the cupbearer to Pharaoh, and later on, he became the prime minister of Egypt. So obedience to God's word is the key to making into heaven. Obedience is the key. Practicing obedience forms the solid foundation enabling us to weather the storms of life. We learn how to do this by following God's word as he intended. And so, James chapter 1, verse 22 and 21 and 22 says that therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I repeat, James chapter 1, 21 to 22 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness or lawlessness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And so, this requires the habit of hearing and learning his word, the word of God. And Jesus describes such a person as one who hears these sayings of mine and does them. So the wise builder builds his house on the rock, on the foundation of the word of God. And it involves meditating on his word and the law of the law and the prophets included, and to do so day and night. And Psalm 19 verse 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The conversion of our minds and our values involve a change from our carnal nature into a spiritual one. Without this mindset change, we cannot receive his laws and the things of the Spirit. And so in conclusion, I urge you to firstly to do the will of the Father, and firstly by calling Jesus Lord, Lord as a true disciple of Christ. Secondly, to walk on a narrow way and persevere in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, honoring the Lord Jesus in all ways, in all our ways. Thirdly, to be the good tree producing good fruit in a covenant relationship with Jesus as Lord. And fourthly, to be the wise builder, building our lives on the foundation of the Word of God as hearers and doers of the Word of God. So, just bow down as I make this prayer. Heavenly Father, at the conclusion of this passage that you have given us today on the Sermon on the Mount, your word tells us that when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as one who of their teachers of the law. And so we pray that we may all continue to be amazed at his teaching and follow the principles that Jesus has taught us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the imputed righteousness upon us on the basis of the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. Today's message on the warning of Jesus stirs our spirit, and we are convinced to want to do well in our journey of faith. And therefore, bless us, O Lord, and empower us in our going on faith as true disciples of the Lord Jesus. that we will take the narrow way, for it leads to eternal life. And ask that you strengthen us when the going gets tough. Free us from the distractions, cravings, or anxiety that would keep us from falling, from fully following you. And Father, it is in your will that each of us will be the good tree that bears good fruit. By our fruit, we will know, so as we partner with the Holy Spirit to produce much fruit, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be alongside us, that, Lord, that we will honor your name, and, Lord, that we will produce the good fruits. Keep us upon this path of righteousness and justice, bearing the good fruit of your Spirit. For it is on Christ Jesus that all our hope is built upon. And we pray too that we will be hearers and doers of your word as wise builders, building our lives upon the foundation of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.